You know, the timing of the Passover is one of the oldest controversies in the Bible. Some say that the Passover should be sacrificed at the beginning of the 14th day of the first month. In other words, the Passover was sacrificed as the day began with the setting of the sun. So the Passover was sacrificed immediately after the sun set and the 14th day began. And those that say that the Passover is on the 14th day at the beginning will say that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a separate festival which begins on the 15th day. That's very much what we teach in the Church of God, a worldwide association. Most of the other churches of God teach the same thing. However, there are others that say that the Passover should be sacrificed on the afternoon of the 14th, which would be about 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. In other words, after the morning and the noon is ended, high noon, we have the sun going down towards the horizon, and about 2 or 3 o'clock, some people say, on the 14th, that's when the Passover should be sacrificed, and that the Passover is actually roasted and eaten as the 15th is beginning. And that's what the Jewish people do, and a few churches of God will do that. Well, in this sermon, we're going to answer the following questions. When was the Old Testament Passover lamb sacrificed? Was it sacrificed on the 14th? In the beginning of the 14th, or was it sacrificed as the 14th was ending towards the afternoon? Another question that we're going to answer is, when did the children of Israel leave Egypt? Some say that they left on the 14th, evening of the 14th. Others say they left on the evening of the 15th. So when did they leave Egypt? Another question we're going to answer is, why do the Jewish people keep the Passover on a different day than the Church of God, a worldwide association, and most other churches of God? Does God command a temple-centered Passover? In the time of Christ, the Passover was being sacrificed at the temple. Did Christ and does God and does the Bible command a temple-centered Passover? Some will say that God modified his original Passover commands to accommodate all of these changes. Is that true? So this is going to be a two-part sermon. The first part given today will cover the Old Testament Passover, and the second part given in 2 weeks will cover the New Testament Passover. So we're going to be looking at the New Testament Passover in 2 weeks, and today we're going to look at the Old Testament Passover and answer some of those questions I just raised. Now, let's look at the events in the first Passover that's ever mentioned, which is called the Egyptian Passover. That's found in the book of Exodus chapter 12, and it was called the Egyptian Passover. Some call it the Mosaic Passover because it was a Passover that was done under the hand of Moses in the land of Egypt before they left Egypt. You remember the plagues and let my people go, and we need to go observe a feast to the Lord. And finally, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and God sent the various plagues, the last one being the killing of the firstborn. So we're going to be reading in Exodus chapter 12. You might want to keep your place there because we're going to be turning back and forth to Exodus 12 quite a bit during this sermon. And let's review some of the events as they occurred in Exodus chapter 12, which is the original commands that God gave for the Passover. In verse 6, let's look at when the Passover lamb was killed. Now in verse 5, it talks about your lamb, and it could be a lamb or a kid, a goat, a small goat or small kid, or small lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So the Passover was killed at twilight. Now I want you to understand that there's only one twilight in a day, just like there's only one noon in a day. Noon at the day and one day is at 12 p.m. So there's only one twilight. It begins as the sun is setting and the sky is darkening. So there's no twilight at the end of the 14th. There's only a twilight at the beginning. So in verse 6, it says that the assembly was to kill the Passover at twilight. So this apparently was a short time after the sun had set. You know, we talk about the twilight of the evening. That's usually from sundown to about when the first couple of stars appear. So about 20 to an hour and a half after sundown, sometime around then, is when the lamb was killed, on the 14th. Where was a Passover lamb killed? Do these instructions here say anything about a temple? Notice verse 4. And if the household is too small for the lamb. So it talks about taking the lamb, and you can read the whole verse, I'm not going to, and keeping it in your house. So the lamb was kept, you know, in a pen in the back somewhere. These were agricultural people. It was not kept at the temple. It was not received from the temple. It was kept at home. Notice verse 7. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. So they were to eat it at home. And on this first Passover, they took the blood and they sprinkled it on the doorpost. You can see there the analogy between Christ being the Passover and his blood protecting us from the death angel. Another sermon for another time. Next question in the overview of the Egyptian Passover is, who killed the Passover lambs? Did the priest kill them? Notice verse 4 once again. If the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 6. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. So the individual owner of the house was to kill it. The head of the house, verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. You know that the only sacrifice that was not killed by a priest was the Passover lamb. You killed your own lamb. Once again, there's a lot of analogies here. Christ being the Passover, we killed him by our sins. So the homeowner, the head of the household, you know, the owner of the house, however you want to say it, he was the one that killed the lamb. Next question in the Egyptian Passover summary is, what does the word Passover mean? You know, there are actually people that will debate what the word Passover means. Well, it's very easily answered. Let's go to verse 13. We're still in Exodus 12, verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So God was going to send the death angel. That was the last plague, and the death angel was going to kill the firstborn. So when they saw the blood on the doorpost and on the sides of the house, on the lintel, the angel would look at that house and pass over it and go to the next house. That's all the word Passover means. It means to skip over, to go over, or to pass over. So there's where we get the word Passover from. Another question when we look at the Egyptian Passover is, where were the children of Israel during the Passover night? When did the children of Israel leave their homes? Notice in verse 21. Call for the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourself according to your families and kill the Passover, verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. So the children of Israel were commanded to put the blood on the door, on the sides of the door, and not to leave their house till the morning. So during the evening when all this happened, the night portion, the children of Israel were not supposed to leave their house. So the children of Israel were in their houses. And you can read later that these houses were in the land of Goshen. And they did not leave till the morning. Now, let's answer the question, how long does it take to kill a lamb, to skin it, to disembowel it, to clean it up, to wash it, and to roast it? If you've ever had any experience with animals or anything like that, Mr. Monsivais has done this several times. It takes several hours, about 5 or 6 hours to do this. So if they did this as the sun was setting, they would be eating sometime maybe around 11 o'clock. So they would be eating rather late in the evening. Now, when did the Exodus, and the word, the title of this chapter is Exodus. Exodus means to leave. You know, we talk about the exit sign. There's an exit sign back over there. It comes from the word Exodus. Exodus is a Hebrew word to leave. And what this book is telling us, it is a story of how Israel got to Exodus, Egypt. How they got to leave Egypt. So the question is, when did the Exodus actually begin? Now, it's very interesting. There's some little details in here. Go to verse 37. Let's look at how many people there were. Children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot and children. So if there was 600,000 men, there's 600,000 women. That's 1,200,000 people. If we add the same amount of children, which is probably being conservative, we have about 2,400,000 people, about 2.5 million people, which is about the population of Corpus Christi, a lot of small cities. You remember what happened last time there was an evacuation of Corpus Christi because there was a hurricane? Were they able to do it in a few hours? Matter of fact, I did some research. There is a science to moving large bodies of people. Soldiers do it all the time. So if you had 2.5 million people, you would have, a rank of 500 people wide, a line of 500 people wide. And between each line, you had 10 feet. And then you had another 500 people. Now, obviously it wasn't disorderly, but if it were, you would have a column of people about 12 miles long. Now, if you're marching at marching speed of an army, and you remember they had children, cattle, and all of that stuff, probably slower, they're going about 2.5 miles per hour, which means it would have taken about 5 hours to go from one point to the other. So once it started, it was 5 hours, and the other end wouldn't get there until 5 hours later. So it took about 10 hours to move that body of people. So they could not have done it in the night of the 14th because they were supposed to stay in their houses. So we've learned that that's how they, some of the details. Notice verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on the very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It's on a day or a night. It doesn't say when. It is a night. Here it tells you it's a night. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. That is the night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. We're going to see later that the children of Israel left Egypt on the night of the 15th, 24 hours after the lamb was killed, which corresponds to our night to be much observed. You ever asked yourself the question? I'm sure you have this rhetorical question here. Why do we celebrate the night to be much observed? Oh, we celebrate it so we have a good meal. Well, yes. But the reason we have a good meal is because that is the night that the children of Israel came out of slavery. So our spiritual forefathers left Israel, left Egypt, which symbolizes slavery and sin, and came out of Egypt on the beginning of the days of putting sin out of your life. A lot of analogies there. Now, we've looked at the overview of the Passover events in Exodus 12, and we've seen that the children of Israel were in their cities all night long, and they didn't leave till the next morning. So when did they actually leave? Well, let's leave Exodus and go to the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 16, and we get some more details here about the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. Observe the month of Abib, another name for the month of Nisan, the first one, and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Now, the children of Israel came out of Egypt by night. It couldn't have been the night of the 14th because the night of the 14th they were told not to leave their houses. So we know they came out at night, but not the night of the 14th. What night was it? Numbers. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers 33. Verse 3. They departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them. Also on their gods, the Lord had executed judgment. So they came out on the 15th day. And Deuteronomy says at night, here it says on the 15th day. Now another thing too, if they came out on the 14th, that would have meant that the night at midnight when the death angel passed, a few hours later the Egyptians were burying their dead. That doesn't make sense. The Egyptians, you know, you don't die and get buried in an hour and a half. So the Egyptians were burying their dead the next day. They came out on the 15th. So they came out of Egypt on the 15th day at night. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12 once again. Told you to keep your place there. Exodus chapter 12. And let's look at this scripture here. Verse 17. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. When did God bring the armies out of Egypt? On the first day of unleavened bread, which is the 15th, at night. So the children of Israel came out of Egypt at night on the 15th. So let's summarize what we've learned by looking at the first Passover that's mentioned in Exodus chapter 12. The homeowner killed the lamb, not the priest. The lamb was sacrificed as the sun was setting during twilight between the two evenings. The children of Israel were told not to leave their house all night long. In other places, we read that the children of Israel left Egypt by night, and that it was also, they left Egypt on the 15th. And we learn in the commands for the night to be much observed that on that night, the children of Israel were leaving Egypt. So what happened is the Passover is killed at the beginning of the 14th day. Children of Israel stay in their house all day long. On the day portion of the 14th, they have to receive the jewelry from the Egyptians. Remember, the Egyptians were inspired by God to hear, here's my money, here's my jewelry, leave before we all die. That happened during the day portion. The Egyptians were burying their dead as they were getting ready to leave, and as sundown came on the 15th, they began to march out of Egypt. So we understand that the Passover is on the 14th, the lamb was sacrificed on the 14th at the beginning, and the children of Israel left on the 15th, which is the first day of unleavened bread. Now, the second point in this sermon, and this is something that you might think is not a big deal, but if you're one of those that believes that the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread kind of occurred on the 15th, this is going to be interesting. And this is the fact that the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are two separate feasts. They're two separate feasts. Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. Should be there already. Look at verse 6. Keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Let's go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, rightly called the Holy Day chapter. The Passover is a feast, but it is not a Sabbath. It's a feast day, but it's not a Sabbath. All the others, like the Sabbath, weekly Sabbath, first day of unleavened bread, they're all feast and also Sabbaths. But the Passover is the only feast that's not a Sabbath day. Notice Leviticus 23, verse 5. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Notice verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month, it's a feast of unleavened bread. So it's pretty simple. Passover's on the 14th. Days of unleavened bread begin on the 15th. Numbers 9, verse 3. Numbers 9, verse 3. We're looking at the fact that the feast and the Passover are separate days, separate feasts. Numbers 9, verse 3. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, notice mine says between the two evenings. It's a little marginal note. On the 14th day of this month, between the two evenings, you shall keep it at its appointed time, according to all the rites and ceremonies you shall keep it. Talks about Moses in verse 4, so verse 5. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. So the Passover is on the 14th day. Let's go to Numbers 9, verse 11. On the 14th day of the second month, this is the second Passover, at twilight, they may keep it. So this gives the instructions for the second Passover. It was also on the 14th day of the first month. Numbers 28, verse 16. Numbers 28, verse 16. On the 14th day of the first month is a Passover of the Lord. Notice verse 17. And on the 15th day of this month is a feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. So the feast of Passover is on the 14th day. And the feast of unleavened bread is on the 15th day. And I can read you a dozen more scriptures on this subject, but I think that's enough. What I need you to understand in this point is that the Passover, and which is a feast, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are two separate feasts. They are not the same. They are not the same. Let's go to, we already turned there to Numbers 28. So 14th day of the Passover, 15th day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now let's look at some quotes from different Bibles. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. And I want to focus in on Exodus chapter 12 on verse 6. What exactly do they mean by twilight? Because some people will tell you between the two evenings means between the evening of the 14th and the evening of the 15th. And there's not two evenings in a day. There's only one evening, because the other evening is part of the other day. So it's not talking about evenings. It's talking about twilight. Let me read you some other translations. This is a King James Version. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Revised Standard Version. Congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs in the evening. A Revised English Bible, very good translation. Then all of the assembled community of Israel must slaughter the victims between dusk and dark. New American Standard Bible. Congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moffat translation. Every member of the community of Israel shall kill it between sunset and dusk. So the Passover lamb was killed as the sun was setting on the 14th day of the first month. And the Passover and the days of unleavened bread are two separate feasts. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because the Jewish people, when you say, let me give you an example. Let's say I ask you, where are you going for the feast this year? You know that I'm talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, because that's our jargon. When I ask you, where are you going to keep the Passover? You say, well, I'm Corpus. I'm going to keep it here in Corpus Christi, because the Passover is the bread and the wine. If I ask you, where are you going to keep the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread? You say, well, that's Corpus during services, you know, at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Those are all separate to you. When you ask a Jew, how was your Passover? In their mind, they're thinking from the 15th to 7 more days. They're thinking of all the days of unleavened bread, including the Passover meal that took place at the beginning, because to them, it's the same feast. They don't differentiate it in their mind. The Jews, what they did and what they are doing presently, and I'm going to show you why they started doing this, the lambs are sacrificed on the afternoon of the 14th. Now, the afternoon of the 14th means that the 14th arrives with the setting of the sun. We go to midnight. We go to morning. We go to noon. And then we go to the afternoon of the 14th, which is as the 14th is sort of ending a few hours before the 15th begins. So they sacrifice their Passover lamb 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock on the other end of the 14th. And then they will kill it and eat it as the sun is setting on the 15th, because to them the Passover begins on the 15th day. So that's what they do. So they sacrifice on the afternoon of the 14th, and the Passover is eaten on the evening of the 15th. To a Jew, when you say Passover or Feast of Unleavened Bread or the feast, it's the same thing to them. There's no difference in their mind. The two festivals to the Jews have been combined into one. Originally, there were two feasts, but they've been combined into one. Let me read you what it says out of some Jewish writings. This is a Jewish encyclopedia written by Jews, for Jews. It has their teachings. Notice what they say. This is under the heading Passover. Comparisons of the successive strata of the Pentateuchal laws bearing on the festival make it plain that the institution as developed is really a composite, is of a composite character. Two festivals originally distinct have become merged. So just how you and I consider the Passover a separate feast and the Days of Unleavened Bread a separate feast, the Jews used to believe that way, but they merged them into one because of tradition. That's what they do now. So you have to understand that to a Jew, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover are the same thing. Now, let me give you something to think about. Can you find a scripture in the Bible? I'm not saying where kings commanded or people commanded, but can you find a scripture in the Bible where it commanded that the Passover be sacrificed at the temple? You cannot. The Passover was to be sacrificed by the people at their homes, as mentioned in Exodus chapter 12. The Passover was the only sacrifice that the common person could partake in. All the other sacrifices had to be done by the priest. Now, let me ask you a question. What caused the Jewish people to change God's original Passover command? The Jews admit that there was a Passover on the 14th, and then that there was a Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 15th, but we have modified it. Sort of like what the Catholics do with the Bible. Question is, why? You ever wished you lived in the Old West? I wish I lived about the time of Daniel Boone and all of them people. Well, if you did, you would take a bath about once or twice a year. You'd be covered with lice and ticks. You'd have worms. Your food would be moldy. You'd have to wear wet leather or dry leather, and it would be very uncomfortable. But we sometimes have this glorified view of the Old West. You ever wish you lived back in Bible times? Some of the times of the kings of Israel? Well, if you did, you know, you say, well, we'd live back there in the times of the kings of Israel, and there was a temple service, and they'd go up for the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, and all the thousands of people would be gathered there to observe these days, and it would be great. No. 99% of the time, the children of Israel were in idolatry, which means they were keeping the wrong days at the wrong time to the wrong gods. They were keeping the days to Astarte. They had, let me be a little gentle here with these next comments because we're dealing with a church group here. They had ceremonies where they had orgies to the gods of the heavens. They would have them out in the open so the gods would see everything and fertilize the ground and the women and the cattle and the crops, and everybody would have plenty to eat. They had some of the high places would have representations of certain parts of the male anatomy pointed to heaven to help with this process. And if you were a woman, you had to serve as a temple prostitute once or twice a year. And if you were a man, you had to partake of the temple prostitutes once or twice a year. You know, we sort of think like, oh, the people of Israel, they don't have it compared. It's very easy to live like they do because they were pretty moral. It's kind of hard to live the way we live now. You know, we live in a very moral, immoral society. Compared to the way we live, we're pretty pure compared to what was going on during the time of the children of Israel. So the children of Israel, the vast majority of them, were keeping apostate days and doctrines. There was a time period before Hezekiah revivals that for about 300 years there had not been a keeping of the Feast of Tabernacles by anybody. That's almost as long as the United States has been a country. Another thing is the 14th day and the 15th day were days of full moons. And the ancients worshipped the moon and the sun. And so a lot of their holy days fell on the 14th and the 15th. You remember the false feast that Jeroboam ordained in the 8th month on the 14th and the 15th day of the month? You know, there was Rehoboam who was given Jerusalem. And there was Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon, who was given the other 10 tribes. And Jeroboam, because of the sins of Solomon. And Jeroboam said, you know what? When the children of Israel, Judah is a separate nation, Israel is a separate nation. When the children of Israel go back to Jerusalem for the feast, they're going to drink, have a good time, eat with their brothers and sisters. And they're going to say, why do we need two kings? And they're going to get rid of me. So Jeroboam said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ordain a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month. A calf at Bethel and another one at Dan. You don't have to go to Jerusalem to keep the feast. You can keep the feast where I am. And that's what he did. He ordained some false feast days. You can read in the Bible where it says that God was angry at Israel and God despised their feast days. I don't, you know, your feast days are abhorrence to me. Some of the books of Hosea, chapters of Hosea and others say that. And you say, oh, a lot of people say, oh, well, yeah, that was, you know, the Passover and the trumpets and tabernacles. Those were those old Israelitish days. And God didn't want them anymore. That's why he said all that. No, that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the false days that they ordained. So here's the background to why the children of Israel moved the Passover from being home-centered to being temple-centered. The people didn't know how to keep the Passover. They didn't want to keep the Passover. They wanted to keep their orgies that they were having to these various gods. So the only people that could be trusted to properly keep the Passover was the temple priests and the kings that revived it. And that's what we're going to see in a minute. Let's go to Second Chronicles chapter 29. Second Chronicles chapter 29. You got to have the background for why some of these things happen. Second Chronicles chapter 29. Hezekiah reigns in Judah. Second Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was such and such. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. I think David was either his grandfather or his great-grandfather. But notice, in the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. But what do you mean repaired them? Nobody had used them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said, hear me, Levites. Now sanctify yourselves. Wait a minute. You mean the priests weren't sanctified? No. There was no sacrifices being offered. The religion of the Levites and God's religion hadn't been observed for hundreds of years. You can imagine you're a Levi and for 200 years you haven't been doing the priestly duties, so you become a plumber or an accountant or a soldier. And so God says, you need to sanctify yourself for the service of the temple. And carry out the rubbish from the holy place. The holy place was full of garbage. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him and turned their faces away from the dwelling of the Lord, place of the Lord, and turned their backs to him. And it goes on to say what had happened and some of the things that had happened because of this. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30, just over a page probably. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel. Now you remember, Hezekiah was the king of Judah, and Hezekiah was reigning in Jerusalem where the temple was. The other 10 tribes were scattered all over the place around Jerusalem, and they had been keeping the religion of Jeroboam, which was a false religion with the calves at Dan and Bethel on the wrong month, on the wrong days. Hezekiah sent to all of Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his leaders and all the assembly in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month. Why in the second month? Because they didn't have enough time to get things ready in the first month. And they read that it was okay to keep it in the second. So they said, we're going to go for the second Passover. For they could not keep it at the regular time because a sufficient number of priests had not consecrated themselves. Yeah, all the priests were doing something else. And the matter pleased the king and all the assembly. So they resolved to make a proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba to Dan that they should come to keep the Passover to the Lord, God of Israel, at Jerusalem, since they had not done it for a long time in the prescribed manner. A couple hundred years, I think. Then the runners went throughout all Israel and Judah with the letters from the king and his leaders. And you would say, oh, the people just thought this was a great idea. Finally, the true religion's coming back. This is what it said. Children of Israel, return to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Then he will return to the remnant of you who have escaped from the hand of the king of Assyria. And do not be like your fathers and your brethren who trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, so they gave him up to desolation as you see. Now do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves. Notice verse 10. So the runners passed from city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, as far as Zebdalim, and they laughed at them and mocked them. The people said, are you kidding? The Feast of Tabernacles? Ha! That's ancient history. That had been done in hundreds of years. This was what was going on in Israel. Nevertheless, some decided to keep the feast. Okay? And so they had a Passover. Notice chapter 31. This is the reforms of Hezekiah. When all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces. You remember I told you there was representations of the male anatomy? They called them pillars for obvious reasons. Broke down the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, threw down the high places of the altars from Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession. Then the king starts to burn offerings in verse 3. Verse 11. They brought in the offerings for the temple. So the temple service was reinstituted by Hezekiah. And the Passover was instituted by Hezekiah, which hadn't been kept in a long, long time. Why? Because the people didn't know how to keep it. They were idolaters. What would happen if you went through the Catholic community of South Texas and told them to return to keeping the Feast of Tabernacles? What kind of reception would you get? Same thing. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah is born. He's another good king. Josiah was born. He's 8 years old. He reigned 31 years. He did that which was right in verse 2. He began to seek God in his 8th year, so he's about 20. And notice, to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them they cut down, and the wooden images, the carved images, the molded images he broke in pieces, made in dust, scattered them on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them there. He burned the bones of the false priests on their altars, cleansed Judah and Jerusalem, did that to the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and all around with axes. They broke down all of these things. One of the priests finds the book of the law. They're cleaning out the temple of all the garbage in it, of all the paganism in it, and in some cubbyhole somewhere, they find the book of the law, which contains Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and the first five books of the Bible, including the instructions for how to keep the Passover. The men did the work in verses 10, 11, and 12. They collected the money in verse 14. Verse 15, I have found the book of the law. Carried the book to the king in verse 16. The money and all of that. Verse 19, thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law, because he had somebody read it, that he tore his clothes. Why? Because in the book of the law, it talked about keeping the Passover and the various other things that they were not doing. And not to worship Baal and Astarte and all these gods that they were worshiping. And then what happens? Hezekiah or Josiah has a revival. In chapter 35, mine has a heading that says, Josiah keeps the Passover. You might say, oh yeah, they kept the Passover every year. No, they hadn't kept the Passover in a long, long time. It was so bad that the temple was full of garbage and pagan idols. You think the people around there could be entrusted to sacrifice a Passover at home? Verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 35. Now Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their duties, and it talks about all the things that they did. Verse 6. So slaughter the Passover offerings, consecrate yourselves. Verse 10, so the service was prepared, the priests stood in their places, the Levites in their divisions, according to God's command. According to whose command? The king's command. These were the commands of Josiah. So let me tell you what happened without belaboring the point, brethren. Josiah becomes king. Israel is an apostate nation. Hasn't kept the Passover. Parts of Israel have been taken into captivity by Assyria for breaking the Sabbath and for idolatry. And no one has ever kept the Passover. They find the book of the law, and Josiah tears his clothes and implements the Passover service, and he implements it at the temple because the people couldn't be trusted to keep the Passover at home. And because there were so many Passover lambs to kill, they began to kill the Passover lambs on the daylight portion of the 14th, which meant they would eat them as the 15th was beginning. And this is what happened. Josiah did this, and Hezekiah did this. Nowhere do you find where the common people were keeping the Passover. So when the reforms were made after the Maccabean period, what came into traditional usage among the Jews was a Passover that was killed on the afternoon of the 14th and the meal eaten on the 15th day. Let me give you something to think about. You remember Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ eats the Passover. Jesus Christ tells his disciples, go and you're going to find a man. I think he's carrying a pitcher of water. And you ask him, where do we prepare the Passover? And this man's going to say to you, as we read, there's a large upper room, you can prepare it there. Did the disciples find a priest to kill the lamb? No, who killed it? They killed it. They didn't have to be told how to prepare the Passover. They just needed to be shown where to do it, because they knew how to prepare the Passover. Because during the time of Christ, there was two kinds of Passovers. There was a Passover on the 14th, where the owner of the house did it, domestic Passover, home-centered, 14th. And then there was a temple Passover on the 15th day, sacrificed on the 14th day as it was beginning to afternoon towards sunset on the 15th. So Jesus eats the Passover. He prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. He's sent to the Praetorium, which was the Roman headquarters for the army, because the Jews couldn't kill anybody without Rome's permission. So they needed the Romans to condemn him with Pontius Pilate's help. Now, do you remember when he was in the Praetorium? It's about 9 o'clock in the morning after he'd eaten the Passover the evening before. This is a day portion of the Passover. He's in the Praetorium, and the Jewish leaders would not come in to see what was going on. Anybody remember why? They didn't want to go in because they didn't want to be defiled, because they were going to eat the Passover later. So they were going to eat the temple center Passover. So at the time of Christ, there was two Passovers. So to answer the question, why did this happen? Why did the Passover get changed in the Jewish usage from the 14th to the 15th? Why did the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread get combined into one feast? Because for a long, long time, and I'm summarizing here, the children of Israel were idolatrous. And the only people that were keeping the Passover were the priest and the king. And they kept it at the temple. And that became one of the usages later on. So that's why it happened. Let me show you something. 2 Chronicles chapter 35. We're there. Look at verse 10. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their places, and the Levites in their divisions, according to the king's command. Notice verse 16. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord according to the command of the king of Josiah. This was all under the direction of Josiah. Josiah said, we're going to have a temple-centered Passover. And we're going to do the best we can having it on the second Passover, second month of the year, because we've been so idolatrous, we couldn't keep it on the first one. So that's what was happening. That's what had happened. They kept it on the end of the 14th, the beginning of the 15th. Both of these Passovers, the one of Hezekiah and the one of Josiah, were Passovers kept at the command of the king. No, but nowhere does it say that God told the prophets to go tell them this is what you need to do. This was done after the king read what was written in the books that they had found. God's original command. Now let me read you one more thing. I'm going to read you some excerpts from Josephus. This is Antiquities of the Jews, Book 2, Chapter 15, Line 1. This is Josephus' writing. We're looking at the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread being the same in the Jewish mind. Whence it is that, in memory of the want we were then in, we keep a feast for 8 days, which is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover being part of it. This is Antiquities of the Jews, Book 17, Chapter 9, Line 3. Now, upon the approach of that Feast of Unleavened Bread, which the law of their fathers appointed for the Jews at this time, which feast is called the Passover, and is a memorial of the deliverance from Egypt. So they combined it into one. This is War of the Jews, Book 2, Chapter 1, Line 3. And indeed, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was now at hand, and is by the Jews called the Passover. So Josephus said, yeah, at the time that I'm writing, the Jews called the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread the same. They included it as being the same. Let me read you what it says in the Mishnah. Let's go back to one more verse before we conclude. We're going to go back to Exodus 12, to the original Passover commands. And notice Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. We read this before, but I want to read it to you from the Jewish perspective. Now you shall keep it until the 15th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Now if you read that the way it's written, this is what it means to me and to most other people. The children of Israel on the 14th day were to kill the lamb at dusk. The Jews read that and they say that means that we kill the lambs on the 14th day in the afternoon, and the priests do it at the temple. Now you say, how do they get that out of that? Let me read you what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah is a writing, the writing down of the Jewish oral traditions. Okay, so this is what the Mishnah is. This is the Mishnah Peskinium, which is Hebrew for Pasqua. The Pasqua, now at the temple, this is what they did. They had three divisions. There was not enough room in the temple to sacrifice all the lambs they did, so they had three shifts. One shift sacrificed, they went out. Another shift sacrificed, they went out. Another shift sacrificed, they went out. And that way they were able to sacrifice as many lambs as possible. Which, by the way, at the time of Josephus, that was not enough lambs to satisfy the whole city. Which means what? There were some lambs being sacrificed for the people at home by them. But here, but remember, there was three shifts in the temple. Notice what it says here. The Paschal lamb was slain in three parties, as Scripture says, and all the assembly of the congregation of Israel shall slay it. Assembly and congregation and Israel. When the first group, assembly, had entered the forecourt and was filled, they closed the doors of the forecourt. They sounded the trumpet. The priests stood row upon row, and in their hand were dishes of silver and dishes of gold. The whole of one row had silver ones, and all the other ones had golden ones. They were not mixed together, and the basins had no rims, lest they set them down and the blood congealed. When the first group assembly went out, the second group congregation came in. When the second congregation left, the third Israel entered. This is what they had done. They had named each of the shifts the name of assembly, the name of congregation, and the name of Israel. So when you read this, you would say, ah, this is the assembly and the congregation and the Israel that's sacrificing the lambs right now in the temple. And that's how they made it fit that scripture. They twisted the scripture to fit their own tradition. That's what they did. You might say, how could they do that? But look at what we do today in our religious services, not the Church of God, but others, how they twist scriptures for Christmas and various other things. So that's how they did that scripturally with a good conscience. God's original command for the Passover is found where? It is found in Exodus chapter 12. He originally commanded that the Passover lambs or kids be sacrificed as the 14th day was beginning, the time period between sundown and dark. At the beginning of the 15th day, 24 hours later, the days of unleavened bread would begin. This indicates that the Passover was observed on the 14th, and 24 hours later, on the 15th, the days of unleavened bread began. That's the way we keep it. They were originally two separate festivals with separate meanings. To us, the Passover is the sacrifice of Christ. To us, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the putting out of sin. They have separate meanings. They're separate feasts. Because of the apostasy of the children of Judah and Israel and their involvement in Baal and Astarte worship, the Passover was abandoned for hundreds of years. Hezekiah and Josiah revived the Passover ceremony and centered it on the temple where they could supervise it, according to the king's command. Because of the reinterpretation of the phrase between the two evenings, the Passover was killed on the afternoon of the 14th and eaten on the evening of the 15th as the days of unleavened bread were beginning. So the Jews, when they read Exodus chapter 12, verse 6, they say there are three shifts that are working the temple area. We're going to name one of them the assembly. We're going to name one of them the congregation. We're going to name one of them Israel. And where it says between the two evenings, that's between the evening of the 14th and the evening of the 15th. So if we do it on the afternoon of the 14th, we're within the biblical guidelines. And that's how they twisted the scriptures. Because of the reinterpretation of the phrase between the two evenings, the Passover was killed on the afternoon of the 14th and eaten on the evening of the 15th as the days of unleavened bread were beginning. In Jewish usage, the Passover and the days of unleavened bread became merged into one observance. This practice continued until the temple was destroyed by Titus in 70 AD. This means, this is very important, this means that at the time of Christ, Two Passovers were in common usage. The less common home-based Passover, centered on the commands in Exodus 12, and eaten on the evening of the 14th, and the more popular temple-centered Passover, based on tradition, eaten on the 15th. In the next part of this sermon, we will see how these two Passovers, which existed side by side, fit into the events in the life of our true Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ.